things that are changed. One is a change. We will not be having the business meeting tonight as scheduled. It will be next week, next Sabbath evening at 5 o'clock next Sabbath, not tonight. I also wanted to mention that we've had one rehearsal for our children's Sabbath so far, and we're looking forward to having more, and including next Sabbath after our potluck. So any children who would like to be a part of that are welcome to join us. We're learning some songs and some scriptures and some prayers, and the kids will be doing a special Sabbath on February the 2nd, and we'll be preparing for that. And so we'd like to have as many children as we can. In a few minutes, we will go downstairs for the foot washing. And many have wondered, why do we do foot washing in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? A question has been raised. It seems like an old custom. We don't wear sandals anymore. We don't walk around on dusty streets anymore. It would make more sense to maybe update it a little bit, shine each other's shoes or something like that. And if the foot washing, as it was presented in the Bible, was only about keeping our feet clean or keeping their feet clean because of the dust on the road, which that was part of it, as the children's story pointed out. But if it was only because of that, you could make a case for updating it, like some have suggested. But we find, as we read the Bible, that the Bible actually answers this question, and that the foot washing always, from the very beginning, actually had a much more important purpose than just cleaning feet that had gotten dusty. The foot washing in the Old Testament, where it began, involved the priests who served at the tabernacle where God's worship was centered. And before the priests entered the holy place of God's tabernacle, the Bible says that they washed their hands and their feet in order to be clean as they served God in the tabernacle. And it's in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 17 through 21. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 17 through 21. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, You shall also make a laver of bronze with its base also of bronze for washing. So something was there that was set so that they could wash, but it continues. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. Now here comes the part about washing hands and feet. For Aaron and his sons. Now, Aaron was the high priest. His sons were the priests. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, so it was something that was a preparatory for service in the tabernacle, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations. So the foot washing, as this scripture reveals to us, had a deeper meaning than simply because they had sandals on. It had a spiritual meaning. It was a physical cleaning, but it was to signify a personal spiritual cleaning, a cleansing, before they go in and serve God. A preparation for service in the tabernacle. This is why when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, if you'll go in your Bible to John chapter 13, John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 13, and verse 8. You may remember in this story that Peter did not want Jesus to wash his feet. He didn't feel he was worthy of it. John 13 and verse 8. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." But Jesus gave an answer that revealed the purpose of the foot washing, and that was to participate in his mission. Jesus said to him, Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So it's about participating in Christ's mission. We find that Jesus further reminded the disciples that the foot washing was a preparation for service and for being sent by him on the mission and as his representatives. That's in verse 16, John 13 and verse 16, where we read, "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So we find that foot washing is a humble service, yes. Foot washing is about unity and humility, yes. But foot washing is more than that. Foot washing is a kind of repeated baptism. Amen. It's a baptism that prepares us for serving God. And we go out of these doors to serve God when we leave this church service today. And we serve God while we're here as well. So whether it's serving God within these doors or serving out of these doors, whatever kind of service we're doing for the Lord, we want to be cleansed for that. We want to be right with God and right with one another. And so that's what the purpose of the foot washing is. And in a moment, we're going to be going downstairs. The women will serve in the fellowship hall. The men will serve in the library and the couples in classroom 3. But let me just say, before we go downstairs for the foot washing, one of the best ways to have a more meaningful experience with foot washing is to approach it spiritually. Avoid common topics as much as possible. You won't get much blessing out of your foot washing experience if you spend your time in the foot washing talking about the weather or sports or politics. You're going to have an empty feeling when you're done with it if you talk about things like that. If you speak of spiritual things, you will find a blessing. Ask questions. Now, here's some questions that you could ask. If you like some other kind of question other than one of these, that's fine. You don't have to limit yourself, but just an idea. Simply ask the person you're serving, "How has the Lord been blessing you?" Or, "What is your favorite Bible text?" Or, "Do you have any prayer requests?" And this will help to generate spiritual discussions. And so at this time, we will separate for the foot washing. Those who prefer to remain in the sanctuary are free to do so, but we'll separate for the foot washing at this time.
Father, we thank you that you have given your Son. We thank you that he gave his life to redeem us. And we come before you with praise and thanksgiving this day. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Matthew 26, 27, and 28. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many of the for the remission of sins. Father, we just thank you so much that you love us so much to have died for us, for shedding your blood for Amen. Us, for the remission of our sins. We pray, dear Amen. Lord, that we will share this love and this true faith to those around us, and may we leave today lifted up. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. One of the most important lessons of the communion service is the love of Christ for us. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And you could put your name in the verse. It might feel a little bit more personal if you do that, where it says you, John or Mary or Susie. Jesus did not die for the law. He died for the people who broke the law. The most important lesson of communion is not something that we are supposed to do. It is not advice. It is not a list of rules. In a sense of human achievement, it's not about us at all. It is about Jesus and what he has done for us. What did he do? He gave his body, his whole life, as a sacrifice for a lost world. He took the death that was ours so that we could receive the life that was his. Amen. He was treated as we deserved, that we might be treated as he deserved. Amen. We are often tempted to look to ourselves, to think about our mistakes, and to feel bad about ourselves. But that is not the purpose of taking the emblems. The foot washing has taken care of that kind of thing. But now we rejoice in the grace of God. And the great work on the life of Jesus, the book Desire of Ages, says concerning this, our Lord says, under conviction of sin, remember that I died for you. When oppressed and persecuted and afflicted for my sake and the gospel's, remember my love so great that for you I gave my life. When your duties appear stern and severe and your burdens too heavy to bear, remember that for your sake I endured the cross, despising the shame. When your heart shrinks from the trying ordeal, remember that your Redeemer liveth to make intercession for you. Amen. We hold in our hands this broken bread, the symbol of the broken body of Jesus, broken for us, reminding us of how much he values each one. Us individually, the person sitting to our right or to our left, everybody that we know, our friends and our enemies. We're worth more to him than his own life. Amen. And as we partake of this, we say that we trust in him and give our lives to him. The scripture says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. A small cup that we hold, but it stands for a big truth, a great truth, salvation. And as we partake of this cup today, we do not partake as a reward for our perfect behavior. We partake saying, Lord Jesus, you are my only hope. I take this cup because I need your forgiveness and your saving grace, and I need your power in my life to help me to be a Christian. 1 Corinthians 11:25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus said that this cup represents the new covenant. What is the new covenant? We could read several different verses of the Bible to tell us what the new covenant is, but we can simply briefly summarize that the new covenant is the saving work of God in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. The new covenant is a personal knowledge of God, not just to know about God, but to know God. Or as we like to say, and want to experience a personal relationship with Jesus. The new covenant is learning to obey God from the heart, because God's laws are written in our hearts. Like a child who is afraid of water and doesn't want to learn how to swim, but the persistence of the teacher gets them into the water, and they discover that it's not such a fearful thing after all, and it's kind of fun to play in the water. And pretty soon, they love it so much you can hardly keep them out of the water. We can learn by the power of the Holy Spirit to enjoy being a Christian and to want to do God's will and to want to obey God and not have all kinds of resistance within us that keeps us from doing it. We may not be perfect yet, but we can experience this kind of transformation. I'll always remember a young man in one of the churches, and we had 10 different churches in the East Coast. So there were three different states, so you won't know which one it was. But this young man was a teenager. His name was Eddie. And Eddie was a young man in the church that I was pastoring, and I tried to become friends with Eddie. I had heard that he liked to play tennis. I remember asking him, could he go play tennis sometime? And he was too busy for that. Nothing that I tried seemed to work to get to know Eddie a little bit better. And when he graduated from high school, we didn't see Eddie anymore coming to church. And judging from how difficult it had been for me to kind of make friends with him, I wasn't really shocked that we didn't see him. His mother was a faithful member of the church, and we saw her, but didn't see Eddie for several years at church. And then one day, Eddie showed up for church. And he showed up again the next Sabbath. And then he showed up on Wednesday night. And I knew something has happened to Eddie. And he started asking me questions about God and about the Bible. And one time we asked Eddie, could you please tell us what has happened? We haven't seen you for some time. Now you're here, you're wanting to be involved. And he shared with us that in the years that he was not attending, he had pretty much lost interest in religion, but One day he was listening to the radio, he was listening to Christian radio, and he heard someone talking about the cross of Jesus. And somehow it got his attention as it never had before. And the fact that Jesus had given his life for him became a truth that he began to grasp. And it touched his heart. And he was very, very sincere. And it was obvious to everyone that a great change had come into his life. And for years, and to this very day, Eddie is very faithful in that church. And he had special talents that he brought. He was good with desktop publishing. He helped us do our church newsletter and all kinds of other things that he helped out with, and soul winning and Bible studies and lots of different things. Eddie had experienced the new covenant miracle in his life. A poet described this change best when he said, "I would not work my soul to save, for that the Lord has done. But I would work like any slave for love of God's dear Son." Amen. The communion teaching also includes one very small word, two letters, and that's the word do. "This do," said Jesus. Do is an action word, but it has a motive: doing for Christ. "This do in remembrance of me." Amen. Now that specifically immediately meant and means this do when we take the emblems, when we serve each other in the ordinance of humility. This do in remembrance of what he has done for us. Amen. But it has a broader application than that. Whenever we do anything for Jesus, it is not because it is a requirement that he has laid out for us and said, you must do this and this and this in order to be saved. But it is because our hearts have been touched by his love revealed in what he is, what he has done for us, and all that he is to us. When we put offerings in the offering plate, we should do it in remembrance of him. Yes. When we provide taxi service for someone to bring them to church or to bring them some other place that they need to go, we should do it in remembrance of him. Amen. When we teach a Sabbath school lesson, when we cook a meal for someone, whatever kind of service it is, let us do it in remembrance of him. Amen. And there is one more thing we can do. There will be a special offering as this service ends with a deacon standing at the door. This is our fellowship assistance offering that we only take once a quarter at our quarterly service as we're having it today for special needs that come up for those in need. Our fellowship assistance offering. And if you are able to give to that offering, do it in remembrance of Jesus. We want to sing together our closing hymn. And do we have our chorister to come up and lead us? You want to come on up and lead us, Brandy, in this hymn? Hymn number 407, "Sent Forth by God's Blessing."
Please stand.
Dwelling, take leave. The supper is
When they had sung a hymn, they went out. Amen.